You are listening to.
Listening to.
You are listening to.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
BlackIsOnline.com.
Right.
What's up, y'all? It's your girl, KC. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of The Break. These last two episodes that come before this one that you're getting ready to listen to were extremely fun and challenging to record. I'm sure you probably have the exact same reaction just listening to them. This was one of those topics that I don't think any of us realized we would have such a passionate response to. And it's always a surprise when we're sitting around the table and the mics are on and we come across a topic that seemingly is going to be one that we all agree on. And then at some point in time, there's major difference between us, and sometimes it gets to what you've heard. It gets to the point where everybody's trying to get their point out and express their point. And, you know, for me, it just goes to show what a wonderfully passionate group of friends we have. We all just feel very strongly about certain topics and certain things. And sometimes things can get a little confused. Sometimes things can get contradictory. Sometimes it can get a little mixed up and challenging. And what I appreciate, and I'm sure Chris would support me in this as well, is that's one reason why this is our group of friends. By challenging each other's feelings and opinions, we grow. We open ourselves up to each other's experiences and ideas. And in that way, we stretch our perspectives and are better able to understand what another one of our brothers and sisters is seeing or feeling. And in this third part of the conversation, you kind of see us come to a bit of a conclusion about what we should be doing or what we could be doing when it comes to the issues that plague us as they relate to the Black Lives Matter movement. I want to say that I don't believe anybody sitting around the table had an actual issue with the movement. One thing that I know that we all are grateful for are the young folk that started this particular movement and the strides that they've made. Most recently, just this past week, we learned that they helped create a situation where the two attorneys that were working on the behalf of the police in regards to the murder of Tamir Rice, they lost their seats. They lost their jobs in the election. And that had everything to do with the passionate work that was put into place by these young folks. And so even though we take a very critical approach at Black Is to every topic, and I stand by our team's ability to respectfully criticize, none of us has an issue, a true issue with this movement. Not at all. I think what we learned in the course of the conversation is really how important it is to us And where perhaps in our generation, we have failed the group underneath us, not realizing that certain things needed to be put into place or certain work needed to be done so that we wouldn't find ourselves in the current state that we're dealing with as Black folks, not only in regard to the abuse that we're experiencing at the hands of the law enforcement that is supposed to protect us, but the abuse we are delving out to ourselves within our communities. You know, it's hard to see things when you're living in the midst of them at the moment. And as the old saying goes, hindsight is 20/20. I don't know what we could have done at this point post the LA riots, because you're dealing with all these West Coast folk out here on our team. What we could have done as young people at that time to strengthen our communities and our movements, because we were all really young. And I don't know how much power we felt. I can speak for myself. I couldn't see it truly what I could have done as a young person at that time, aside from keep living. And I think what we did do, as Malcolm so eloquently mentioned, is support those things that really spoke to our hearts and our souls at the time. And that was our music, because we did grow up in the greatest era of hip hop, in my opinion, in our clothing, supporting those companies that came out directly after Cross Colors, FUBU. We rocked our medallions. We talked about community. We talked about Black colleges and education. And so many of us went on to have those experiences. And I think we believed those were the things that we were supposed to do to keep ourselves in a really strong place as a community. You know, but alas, here we are. We find ourselves here in 2016 in one of the most cantankerous presidential election experiences that I've witnessed in my lifetime. And we realize there's still so much work to do. So I hope that through the creation of this podcast, we are creating something, we are making something, building something that is everlasting in its impact on all the listeners who hear it now and in the future. And I hope this moment in time is one that is frozen in that regard, so that anybody that comes up after us understands our experiences, our conflict and challenges, and continues to do whatever work they feel necessary to bring us as a group, as a people, as a community, a culture, forward. And more than anything, maintain and protect the history that we have created in this country. It is important. And we realize so much of who we are is shaped by the media. But thank God for this new media, and that we are able to showcase that what you see in mainstream isn't always the proper or the correct experience of Black folk. We're way more complicated and complex and diverse than what you see. And listening to this podcast is proof of that.
I wouldn't beat up our generation that hard. Okay. I think our parents in that generation, basically, you say they made this huge movement and helped bring in the change. So we benefited from, you know, like having the right to vote and, you know, at least on legal terms, you know, being treated equal, mm-hmm. and not three-fifths anymore. Mm-hmm. We created this culture, this music, you know, we took a step forward. I would say, I think for most part, I'm not where I want to be. I mean, with my parents specifically, but you know, you felt like they pushed it and we went in and tried to get further along economically, mm-hmm. you know, like, okay, now that we can actually be top dudes at big businesses, and getting in seats in government, you know, we did that.
Mm-hmm.
But we also, I think, come from the generation where we saw COINTELPRO basically cut off the heads of our leaders. Ronald Reagan, crack. That's our generation too.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
You know, I feel like our elders was like, we pushed it, cool, but you actually had to see people who you were following get killed.
And you also saw people fall victim to scenarios and situations that were many times out of their control. Situations like crack, which invaded areas that were impoverished and miseducated, and people just truly hungry, literally hungry, and looking for something to soothe, ease, and blind the pain of the circumstances they were in. And, you know, you're correct. You're correct. We're dealt a dirty hand in this country. And I think a lot of people, it's funny when I'm on social media and I look at our friendship circle, from that perspective, people who we've worked with and interacted with and that have podcasted with us, there's still varying perspectives. There are so many people that say, you know, we don't have to move anywhere. We built this country. We're supposed to be here. It's ours. It's ours. You know, but there are many of us, and I speak really for me, that understand that the country wasn't necessarily built for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say that in spite of where I land in the Black Lives Matter conversation, the whole idea of moving abroad as Black folk or living abroad as Black folk, because it doesn't have to be a move. We're not running away. I don't think, I think that any sort of circumstances that this particular election could bring up that would cause dissonance between the races, it's not something that would ever go down easy, because we're dealing with a very different generation of folk. And there's enough of us that are aware of our history and aware of our rights in this country that the fight would just in that situation be a fight, you know? We're a very different, if you don't mind me saying, we're a very different species than our ancestors who were enslaved.
Mm-hmm.
Our minds are just not wrapped that way.
Well, not like the whole life circumstances is totally different.
And on top of that, and I want to say this because our site has been very specific to the experience of descendants of American slaves, but truly we have to consider the experiences of other people of color. We are not the only folks that have been marginalized. And it's so interesting how this recent Oscar cycle this year really highlights the fact that everything in this country always comes down to Black and white. And on both sides, both white folks and Black folks tend to ignore the experiences of other people of color, because we have always in this country had to be the ones to break barriers, because for so long it was just us two and the Native Americans, you know? And so, but you know, we cannot negate the experiences of our Mexican American folk, our overall Hispanic Americans, just from every country, Asian American people, East Asian American people.
Well, this lane was just opened up. And once people just was like, oh, there's some spot over there.
Yeah.
Where they going?
Sorry, and they taking East
over.
Asian,
well,
South
you know,
Asian.
People, they taking over stuff. They come in like it's money here. It's jobs they creating. You know, like you have with the Chinese coming, working with the railroad. You know, people came around here. Right. Everybody got ships. You know, we're going to get over here some way.
And everybody experienced discrimination in this country in their own way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the thing that becomes so funny about the history of it. I was trying to watch that new show on WGN Network, Underground.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about that at another time.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a scene in the first episode where one of the characters who's an abolitionist is saying, you know, the people who have founded this country were leaving another country for religious persecution, and basically came to this country and reenacted that same behavior on another group of people and justified it based on skin color. You know, justified that they weren't dealing with actual people, but cargo animals, which was just insane. You know, part of the whole American slave system was insanity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that to me is where the situation is crazy. And this election has showcased how deeply rooted the seeds of hatred and racism and prejudice, how deeply rooted those seeds are in this country. Because we saw people's boldness in regards to how much they hate people of color once Obama was in office.
But you saw before he was, when he was running.
When he was running.
Yeah, people that we played. We found people were just like, nah, I don't want a black dude as my president.
Right. And now that we're at this point, they're just plumb crazy. They're just plumb crazy. You know, because they have one candidate that just fuels, Trump just fuels hate.
He's just he's on the opposite end of he's just, they feel like Obama opened the door, and you got this dude who just like, I can talk reckless, but because everything is so PC, you do have people who are like, oh, he's willing to speak his mind.
Because
they feel like he's gonna come in and be so bad that they gotta fix it.
Well, and bad isn't good.
No, they feel like he's gonna come in, fuck up. And then people can be like, look, the system's broken. It's time to fix it. And that's what people want about how he's just so, I don't, you know.
But that's not what people want. They want him to blow the situation up. They want him to blow government up, mm-hmm. so that it has to start from scratch.
He's a time bomb.
And but part of the reason why he's attracting these folks who are so prejudiced, though, is because he also speaks to a population that's uneducated, you know, and he speaks in plain English, very plain. You know what I mean? Trump isn't really saying anything. If you listen to his speeches, he's talking to just the everyman. He's not really trying to pull, I think, any one particular group. You know, he's not trying to gain this group's vote or that group's vote. He's just talking to every man. And so for all these folk in middle America who feel like they're in circumstances where they're being discriminated against because of their socioeconomic status, or minorities have caused them to miss out on opportunities, or, you know, they're just white and poor, they feel like they get him. They can understand what he's saying.
He's representing somebody who's just can say, I don't like where this America is going. If you've been on top and you start feeling like now you about to slip out, you don't have a problem with it.
It's fear-based voting. And that's what we're dealing with. Noam Chomsky said it best. He said, older white folks are afraid because they realize that in this country, numerically, they are no longer the majority. And that is the reason why Donald Trump is getting as much popularity as he's getting. It's complete and total fear-based voting.
Yeah, and he's not a politician. He will be if he gets in. He can't be like, I'm not. Well, you becoming one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you
and don't have that background. Everything that comes with that.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that comes with that. So,
but you know, the way they're trying to make it sound, it just feels like if he gets the one who get nominated, our Republicans, you know, are you going to vote with your head or your heart?
Well, he's divided that party, period. So quite frankly, he also represents a downward trend for them. because they are absolutely not unified behind him, which thank God for that.
Well, you can tell when the, when the Tea Party came out that it felt like, all right, there's a collective that just want to, you know, want to go a different way.
Yeah, the good old boys. Mm-hmm. But thank God for that, though. You know what I mean? Thank God that on the conservative end of our country, there aren't the whole, there isn't the entire party of folk that want to take things back to pre-1865. You know what I mean? They're not trying to go there.
Yeah, it would have to split up again. You know. Instead of being in two, it's a four or something, but I don't, it's all a game.
Well, anyway, we thank you so much for listening to all of our episodes, but really pushing through the last two. And we hope that you enjoy this third one as we conclude the Black Lives Matter conversation. Thank you, y'all, for listening. We appreciate your time.
But I'm not trying to be fed through imagery and through a media system that already is built on let us continue to feed fear into a community.
Well, let me go back to the point that I've made at this table several times before I said take up arms. For me, Black people in general need to have a greater global perspective. We need to stop thinking this is the only place we can fucking exist. We love to believe that America is the only country in which we can live and raise our children and be successful versus considering other options. The world is it's other places to be. It's other places to be.
Different places in the whole world.
You know, it's other places to be. It's other places where we can go and thrive and flourish versus trying to fix the evil. This country was never founded on a basis of shit to be equal and fair between us and other people.
But my question is then, where do you go? Because if they treat the Syrians like, don't come into our country.
Well, I'm not going there.
Well, basically you're saying either go to Caribbean, Latin America, or the motherland. Is that correct?
I'm not entirely sure where to go.
Europe right now is shutting it down on some Syrians, so they definitely don't want you.
No, I'm not saying mass exodus.
That's a totally different.
Are you telling me if there was a mass exodus of Black people out of this country into different countries?
Well, actually, you're so right. That'd
be including awesome. Including all the riffraff, that they would be absolutely welcome.
The riffraff isn't going. The riffraff isn't. Riffraff isn't going.
But okay, so then who are you trying to save? Are you trying to only save the privileged, educated folks?
Ultimately, that's what it's going to come down to.
The race of people. So
we've already had the conversation that trying to save the race is beyond. We're not even thinking as a collective. Everybody's making choices based on their individual needs.
Okay, so then to leave the country is an individual choice.
Absolutely.
So the conversation is null and void then, because it's not even about the collective. It's about each individual. Do what you want to do.
No, as an individual, I can share information as an individual with you who is a like-minded individual. And we can then make choices that impact us. If we end up being in the same place, great. If we end up being in two different places, that's okay. We still have a connection that just, to me, expands our reach.
So you're saying all the like-minded people, I'm just giving mm-hmm. clarification. Mm-hmm. All the like-minded people leave the country, and then all the riffraffs and the foolishness, they stay here, kill each other off, and then and that'll just
no, that's,
be
that's extreme. That's extreme.
No,
that's
not a conversation. I'm asking
go to a different part of the country. It's not necessarily.
Well, what I'm saying is, because the reason why I'm making that scenario is because it basically sounds like leave them here to their own devices while we go and do what we need.
Because all the English sent all the criminals here and Australia.
So that's what you're saying. Now take all the good people and bring them back. So
it's history in reverse. One group has got to go. I'm just not of the belief. And I'm not going to make a complete and total generalization. I'm sure there are some gang members out there who don't want to do what they're doing, but they don't have any other circle or circumstances where they see another way out. But I do know when it comes to taking a life, That has an impact on a man's psyche, woman's psyche, whoever the person is. It impacts a human being if you get to the point where you're comfortable taking a life. At that point, I don't know how much rehabilitation can affect a person. Once you, that
you
becomes...
Then you do you not go to the source of it? So if you, were thinking, what, if you go to the source of the gang members and say to them, well, why don't we take away what it is you're killing for? So if we were to legalize something, legalize drugs, for instance,
that, ain't right.
That would be that would work. If you think about what would happen
maybe
if you
weed,
legal,
but not meth.
If you legalize drugs, you take away the financial, the finances.
Yeah.
You which take away the finance track. That's what they're killing for each other for. You do that, you've cut it, and that could be it. So then you kind of you're weakening
list,
something.
You're going to list a series of solutions.
It's been proven, eh?
One, you were going to start off with possibly arming, and then you were going to. I felt like you were going to go elsewhere.
Yeah, arming, I thought of arming myself in the event, or arming ourselves in the event we're having to deal with, and mind you, I'm thinking about just in my community now. This community is very diverse, but you also have, with all the middle class black folk or people of color that live here, you also have your fair share of straight up just ignorant.
Niggas.
Yeah, exactly. Who are not working, who are not making any sort of contribution to the community or the households which they live in. And in the event a situation, I want to make sure our shit is covered. Period, point blank. And that comes strictly from the perspective of the fact that I have two little ones who I feel very responsible for.
Right.
I got to cover them. And I don't want anything...
But what can we
Chris
do?
Is protecting me.
But I feel as if
I believe in the order of the marriage. My husband, he's the head. So he's in front.
It's hard because when you can't park on the street and somebody come and put a fucking note on your car and tell you to move your car from in front of their fucking house that they don't own the goddamn street, but they come and tell you to come move your fucking car from in front of their house, that's a problem. You know what I'm saying?
That's ignorance. That's just straight up ignorance.
You obviously haven't lived anywhere near Auntie Afi because my mom is that neighbor.
And so is my mom.
You park your car regularly in front of the house.
My mom will be
doing that. You got a house yourself?
Yeah.
And you ain't parking your car? She'll be like, baby. She will come up to you and be like, you've been parking your car in front of my house
three
days
though.
In a row, but ain't nothing in front of your house.
Listen, your car is dripping oil.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Do not. So when people own property, they get very proprietary.
Middle class issues. Middle class issues. My Lord. My God, the good. I mean, let me just.
It's common courtesy. Don't park your car in front of my house.
I understand they park it on your driveway.
What I'm saying is, we have a certain.
Yeah.
We have a certain proportion of young folk that are miseducated and uneducated that have utilized the streets as their method of survival. And mind you, I'm speaking from a perspective of somebody who was a former educator. I'm still an educator. I'm once an educator, always an educator. You find yourself running across those children who, of course, are just sponges. And if they can see a way out, they will get that way out. But then you see others who don't see it at all. They only see one way of dealing with life, it's going the street route. And in that situation, if it's me against them or my children against them, I have no choice. My kids have to survive, which is why for me, getting global has always been the first. And my family here will attest to this. I have always said we have to get global. We cannot just think that this is the only place black folks can exist.
The idea of not being global is exceptionally alien to anyone.
Right. Yeah. But for African Americans, it is very, it's home.
So it's home.
It's about what's comfortable.
It is what's comfortable.
It is about geographical because, I mean, America is so huge that you can literally be in different types of countries.
Be in different time zones.
Like, the South versus the West are two different countries. We don't want to admit it. We always want to say the American people. But if I go to the Midwest, the South, the Northeast, or Southern California, they're two different.
I can tell you
but there's a mindset, though.
Because propaganda led them to believe that, oh, baby, you're going to get killed.
Exactly. And older black people, and older black
passport in 80 years.
And older black people still function from that mindset. Like, I'll be real. My parents... My parents will probably never. My parents will probably never travel outside of the country. At this point, they're both headed towards 70. My father has been out of the country only because he's been in the military. I don't think my mother has ever been out of the country unless you count Canada and Mexico, which are attached to the country. So it's not that great of a stretch. But as far as going abroad, mommy hasn't even been to Hawaii. And that's going across some water. She wants to do it now because we keep talking about it. But you talk about fear-based living and also thinking about the fact...
Yeah, people who haven't been to the beach who've been here their whole life.
Their whole life.
People who live in L.A. who can educate the beach.
Right.
There are people who don't leave like a 10-block radius.
Right.
Literally don't leave a 10-block radius.
Right.
Entire... They don't know.
They just don't know.
Why don't you focus on educating those people?
Yeah, that's what I don't understand.
You
try educating somebody who's 70 years old on something like this. They think at this point,
Steve, you keep drilling a steel wall, you'll get through. You know what I mean? You do have to
cultivate. What has to happen? Honestly, what has to happen? We have to create it.
Yeah.
And then just bring them. That's what it comes down to. I tell my parents all the time. I'm like, you guys don't want to live anywhere else. But what's going to happen is Chris and I are going to set up shop somewhere else. And when shit gets hot, you're going to come. Because you're not going to have any other option. And we're going to have it already set up. And it's just going to be what it is. I can't anticipate that they'll make those decisions. And the thing is, in terms of educating... We got to go back to the fact that we're dealing with so many folks who are miseducated. So I got to start with... completely uneducated. Yeah. We got grown folks who can't read.
R. Kelly.
Who can't process. We got issues.
That GQ article was brilliant.
Children being born with drug addictions. You know, parents who are heavy drug addicts.
So,
this, and the thing is, let me be real. This is not the majority of LA.
Chicago. We not Chicago.
But hold on.
Can I just say?
But let's just be real. There's a large proportion of folks that are operating off of this mindset.
It actually really saddens me because I'm seeing a very beautiful woman talking about a mother of her children not being able to live in an area.
Yeah. And in a beautiful neighborhood.
It kind of upsets me because where we live, we can do almost what we want. We can go where we want. We have a sense of...
Yeah, don't get me wrong. We have other problems to deal with.
But there was a sense of entitlement. An entitlement to...
But then why don't you spend your time in finding ways and means to educate these people?
Some of us do.
We do.
That's
why
she said... I'm still an educator.
But then again, it's also got to be a sense like you can't educate everybody because everybody can't be educated.
No, but you can find ways of communicating.
But the only way to be able to ways of educating is by doing.
Now listen, not everybody. Sadly, not everybody.
But then at what point do I then put my future, which is my children, because to me, their education is the most important.
I think you're right. I think what you said is right, is move out. You move away from this. You show it in a different way because later on...
She's not helping the folks who are part of her
but it's
tribe.
Not, no, it's,
so
no but it's not about that.
Not
the
directly.
Way, because not directly. What no, they'll say, yeah. She used to be there. No, I tell you what, I'm not going to give an example. I grew up in an area called... It's kind of like Knife City. That's what we used to call it.
Mm-hmm.
With my career, what I did, I now live in probably, I live like somewhere like Notting Hill. I live like in the most well-to-do area. And so then when people think about me, they turn around and go, oh, look what you've done. Mm-hmm. And other people have moved out. They use me as an inspiration. I know other people in the same, and I think that's what you've got to do. You go, okay, I can't deal with this like this. I've got to move out.
Right,
I've
but you think about that reach to, back though. Because
you're
going to
give up what?
There's a reach back. Because... Yes, you made it, but did you reach back to catch that
you
person
can only,
that
you can't
wants
save,
to get
you
out?
You can't save everybody.
I didn't say everybody. I said reach back to catch the one that wants to get out.
The one who wants to get out will get out.
The ones who want to get out, they've seen for my example.
So the point that these ladies are making, I think, a lot, and I think that Darius is making, is that you have to reach back to get the ones who want to get out.
No. Because if they want to come, they'll follow. You don't have to reach back, nothing. You just keep walking.
You create
the path, and everyone will follow, those who want to follow.
Without a reach back.
I've been saying that for years.
Beyonce's put out this video today. How many copycats is there going to be tomorrow?
You're going to make your path. You're going to do what's right for you.
Yeah. But if she was to put it out in a way which is going to educate other more people, then other more people are going to be
educated.
The way
you collect the we is by being more of the me. And I'm telling you now, that's the way you go forward.
But the problem is, it feels like it's that.
It's just what you do. It's the only way.
You have to create the lane for other people. But at some point, what about the people who want to, but there are people who are like, I have the drive. I see the lane and I'm going to get to it. What about those who are like, I don't see the lane you made. I see you at the end, but where's the road you made? And you may have, there has to be somebody who's like, yo, the road is this way.
Of course, all they're going to see is the glory, and that is very true. So what, because they see the glory and they don't see the hard work, I'm supposed to go
no,
let me stop on this road, let me go back,
but that's what
you do, tie my ass out,
but that's
all the way back.
But that's the challenge with all the movements. There's not everybody's
Will
not.
Smith needs to speak at them old school.
Yeah, like to me, this
with
is
his
how
accent. With his accent.
All right, this is how I think of, like, with the black community and all that. I always go back to it being like, we have this fist. The fist is made up of five fingers. All the fingers are different. They all do different things. Some people want to be the middle. But maybe your job is not the middle finger. Maybe you the index. But I don't want to be the index. I want
middle finger.
Right. Like that. There are people, like we said, with the Black Lives Matter. Maybe the Black Lives Matter movement is the thumb. But
right.
We're asking the thumb to be the pinky. Great. But the pinky can't. The thumb can't.
Come
do
on,
it.
Chris Layman.
But the
you gotta preach.
But there are so many of us who are like, we see what the thumb's doing. Why don't we just get four more thumbs? You're like, well, that's not the four five thumbs can't make a fist.
Yeah.
And it's always going to be a challenge.
If everybody had a finger, all together, put it together, you have a big
right.
Ass.
But if you have a deformity. Yeah.
I'm not going to go with that one.
You got to encourage people.
Has a purpose.
It's all about choices. There are all different ways to get to where you want. These are all the lanes, and we feel like when our community, it's like two lanes. Three lanes. You can play ball. You can do something illegal. You know, it's just we don't expose them to everything. It's okay. Like we go back to the Oscars.
Ridiculous.
If you want to be the fucking editor of the movie, you can be an editor. Why the fuck do you have to be the actor?
Because
like,
we're obsessed with
celebrity. Yeah, we're obsessed with.
But it's also,
it's like,
it's,
or the director.
It's also so lack of exposure.
But that's what you're talking about with the
millennial.
That's a millennial kind of way of thinking. Was about how many people you have following you, how many Twitter followers you have, how many Facebook.
But that's part of their crutch. That's their crutch.
Not so much a new way of thinking.
Because keeping up with the Joneses is the same. It's not. It's a world way of thinking.
Yeah. Growing up in LA though, growing up with Hollywood being right at your back door, the idea of fame and celebrity for us.
That's gone global now. That is global.
I believe that.
Right.
Everywhere.
It's just the difference is this generation has a new tool, and with that new tool comes a lot of different shit. You can create something that's great. Somebody's going to find a way to make that shit evil. Like whatever tool you make, whatever thing you can think of, you can find a way for it to be good and bad. You can say, well,
but that's
you know,
what I'm saying. You can't save the thousands. Just
no, but the thing is, okay, you have to always reach back to save somebody.
But there is something interesting about the two perspectives. Let me ask you this: the moment we procreated,
we don't have to reach back and do nothing.
No, but here's my thing.
And
my question.
question is like, where the place you left, do you ever go back?
Do I go back?
Yes.
I do.
No, I'm not saying you have to guide them the whole way.
No.
But do you leave? Do you? That's because we made a big thing with the hip hop.
I am not going back.
Steve is not going back.
I'm not going back. No Knife City for him.
You know something? I fought to get out. Really did fight to get out.
Right.
And I was one of the lucky ones, you know, to get out and do something with my life. Anybody else who followed me was because they went, who's that guy? Look what he's done. They know me.
But hearing him say that, it makes me wonder if here in America, let me just put this before us, if we've got a warped vision of like this utopia of blackness and black people and where we can be. Because there is something to be said about handling your own household, taking care of your own household. And if we succeed, that is black people succeeding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that if you're individually, and my thing is that there are organizations, there are schools. Because my thing is, one thing, and it's interesting at this whole group of people, because I do think as you get older, you become more conservative. But there's something to be said. I'm sorry. And my father used to talk about this all the time. Like, we have free education in this country.
Yes.
And I do not, I've gotten to a place where I do not have any sympathy or patience for parents who do not know how to be a parent and absolutely make sure your child does the basic thing of going to school and help them with their homework. And they got kids, you got kids failing out of school and not even going to school, just ditching school. And I'm like, wait a minute. You have no one to blame about not having an opportunity. If you go to one class and you take one world history and you look at one map, you already have access of there's someplace else than my 10 square meters. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So my thing is, we got to stop using excuses. And I do think that sometimes, particularly in the black community, and I don't know what it is. I'm actually fascinated by this conversation. I've always been fascinated by the diaspora conversation about differences and how we handle just blackness and the challenges of being black in the world. Mm-hmm. Because our conversation is completely different from this conversation. I'm not saying we don't need to be there, but there's something in black America, whether it's just because of we've been constantly trying to get free and really don't realize that our freedom is in our ear and not here.
Where the problem lies.
But we're constantly like, we've got to pull people back. We've got to get my community. I got to go back. And that's why I was watching Allen Iverson's story today, and it was a great documentary. And I'm like, this is the constant challenge with our successful black. We're like, well, I got to stay true to the homies. And the homies constantly trying to bring you down.
Yeah, for real.
So you got to continue to stay true to that.
That's propaganda.
The truth, what you should be staying true to, is someone who wants to see you succeed and doesn't want you.
That's
and so my
propaganda.
Thing is, we have this idealism of like, I got to say this. I got to say. I'm like, if you don't want to be saved, you don't want to be saved. And the truth of the matter is, yes, your household, as your household succeeds, and your friends and your family and your cousins and everybody in your community succeeds, that is the success of the black community.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember when somebody told me, when you stop taking on this idea that you have to save the black community, you, by you, Malcolm, doing what you're doing, going to college, having a job,
that's
staying
it.
Out of jail, that is successful black community.
I'm telling you, you are a successful rap star, hip hop artist. Like, basically, now you've made your money, do your children go to a state school? They'll go, no, my child goes to a private school.
Right,
you ask every criminal, drug dealer, where does your kid go to now? They go to a private school. They make money, they move forward. That's what happens. So basically, why can't we do it on a lower level? Why can we not push it on a different level? That's what I'm saying.
This is what I want to propose, because this is a conversation that Chris and I have had, Malcolm and I have had, Tash and I have had, Tori and I have had, and because I am more about action than words, as a collective here, I would like to propose that we start to travel as a group. Let's just get out the country.
Honestly, you
with,
should.
With stuff like Airbnb, it would be nothing for us to rent a house somewhere.
Just to see the world in a different light.
Yeah, and go somewhere for a couple of weeks. And we all are grown enough that we have earned that kind of time where we can take 14 days.
Honestly,
let me tell you, after Paris, I didn't really want to come back to this place.
And we need to do it. We need to do it. Chris and I, we already, for this year, we have a trip planned. We're going to Montreal. I'm opening that invitation up to everybody here. Feel free to join us. We're going to Montreal the last week of July. We got an apartment. We can help you guys find an apartment near us. We're going to Machu Picchu. Right. So we're going to Machu Picchu. But, like, for real, I would love for us to do this annually. Let's pick a place.
Why don't we look at 2017 as a place that we can think
of? Let's save our money and let's go.
I don't have to give everybody.
But you know something, look, the thing is about traveling.
Let's just do it. You guys should go in 2016. Whoever can go in 2016.
List, yeah, so whoever can go 2016, go.
Come
if you can't go to 2017, wait till 2017.
And the thing is, it's not about just traveling. It's not just about traveling outside the country.
It's about...
Like, even seeing this country that you're in. Go to South America, go to Central America. You know, there's places on your doorstep that you just go, man, the Caribbean is like that away from here. It's literally, a click away.
So let's do it.
It's like...
Let's do it.
And you know, also it's about being open-minded. It's about being open-minded to open up your mind to new things.
Exactly.
Because when you see it's all it is when you realize that
music,
cultures are
television,
so broader.
All of that, right. Books, reading.
It's really just exposure.
Yeah.
That's really what it comes down to.
You don't know, it's a propaganda of not to allow you to have the exposure. Right. That's a government thing saying, we don't want you to have the exposure.
Oh, no.
If you have the exposure, you might go, what the hell's going on in our country? You have to question it.
And those of us that have had the opportunity to travel abroad, you know the impact that has on you. It changes you entirely. Yeah, it changes you entirely.
Because you're like, life could be a lot easier.
Yeah. And I think it was...
Puerto Rico's amazing.
Yeah. And can I just tell you, I mean, I know Tash knows this, and I know you guys know this, obviously, because you're here. But when I... And I really have to say, public, I thank BlackIsOnline.com, because when I went to the UK for a month... Yes, they do. And Virgin America is now going to Hawaii. Okay.
Costa Rica is amazing.
But when I went to the UK for a month in France, it literally changed my life. The first thing I kept saying when I came back was, for the first time, I understand what it felt to be American, because nobody was treating me on a racial level. First of all, everyone, the moment I spoke, they were like, oh, you're American.
Yeah.
And so that in itself, I was like, oh, that's what... First Lady Michelle Obama was talking about, like, for the first time I feel American, because we deal so much in the milieu of race.
Yes. Yes.
And race and race and race. You can't, I mean, I'm like, and I just said it right now, I was like, I felt human. I felt human. I felt like, what? I don't, every conversation, every context, every construct is not about my race. Huh? That's an amazing feeling.
It's good. It's good. I went to Nigeria. I went to Nigeria for Christmas, and I hadn't been to Nigeria for since I was 7 years old. And for the first time ever, as soon as I put my feet on that red sand, it wasn't just felt like being at home. I felt like a man, like a black man in the world. I was like, my voice was deeper, the way I sat was wider. I immediately had this kind of accent that was like, I got into my voice. And I don't know why, but it was just like, okay, I am the roots of this land is in me. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what it is. You walk in, you're going, well, you know, all of a sudden, but it's not even just that, it's just all of a sudden you forget all the stuff about race, about you being black, about all the negativity, the connotations about it, just drops. It drops the moment you get off the plane. You're like,
feels amazing.
Oh, God.
And I felt that.
I'm just a black man. You're invisible. You're invisible. You actually are invisible because every single person there.
I
said, I am an invisible man, not like that, Ellen Poe. That's it. That's what you are there. You're just an invisible man. Because you're black like everybody else. Mm. They ain't looking at you and going, they might go, what tribe you're from? That's about it. And that's all you need. So you can go there, go to the Caribbean, wherever you could just see your people. And then you just go, then you're like, oh, okay, I got worth. Mm-hmm. I carry worth. And that's it. So when I came back from Nigeria, I went, I carry worth. And that's when
hashtag.
And then it makes you go back to God's words. I am. And that's it. That's literally, you know what I mean?
I am.
And that's the truth.
Hashtag
that, bitch.
Hey, we can start it right now.
On that note, I'm in.
Yeah, but
I'm
also
in.
You need to get rid of the negative influences that surround you, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look, I don't listen to music. I don't watch TV.
Mm.
When I have done all of that stuff, a lot of it's just imprints in your brain and it's negative.
You don't listen to music?
I don't listen to music.
No. Popular music.
Yeah. So I don't agree with him on that one.
I don't agree with Stevie and Prince, but constantly you've got all this MTV base and all this BET and all these videos and all these subliminal images and all that. That's controlling you.
It sure does.
Like, look, I make films. They taught me that in film school. What colors to show, what pictures to use, what angles to choose.
Right, and they teach you that in business school too. But the only thing I wonder though is that if you stop watching it, do you become disconnected? And maybe, and I hate watching Fox News, but I'll have to watch Fox
News. You have to watch it. I think you have to have a perspective.
Because I just need to know what's
going on. Yeah, you have to have the perspective.
And I am not...
I like to know the racist is sitting right in front of me.
Exactly.
I like to know...
My father always taught me the best offense is to know the defense even better.
There's other ways of means of getting that information.
Not always.
I mean, and I'm also not on social media, so I gotta watch this.
But then why Fox? Why
are
you choosing Fox?
Because it's just
seeing the other.
First of all, if you don't watch Fox, I don't like to watch Fox. I can only take it in doses. Right. But I do understand it because what you need to know what the craziness on the right side of this country is.
And
if you
how
live
far
here,
willing to go.
I think you need to be aware of that because there's certain liberal media that's not going to show you the real, real, real crazy because the liberal media thinks it's crazy. Yeah. But these people think this is real and that's their life.
And trust me, you bring.
But I think it's in moderation. Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I watch it in the gym when I'm on the treadmill because if I'm upset, I'm also working out. You know what I mean? So I mean, and like I'm not in the gym that long, by the way. But I feel like you have to take it all in.
Hashtag. I'm not in the gym.
Not in the gym that long.
Hashtag.
I think this is a conversation that we will continue to have because it definitely went from Black Lives Matter to shit how our lives matter.
Hashtag our lives
matter.
I am warm.
But I'm glad that we're having this discussion and the idea of us traveling together as a group because I think it will mean something to see other parts of the world together, considering what we have built here as an entity together. I think it'll be
your audiences as well. Just tell them that. And just do it once. If you do it once in your life, is it enough? Just once.
Yeah.
Just go out and see the world, whatever it is. See something
beyond
your doorstep.
Yeah.
Because your doorstep doesn't always tell the truth.
Yeah.
And that's the
That's always, the most of the time,
preach.
Tell you the truth.
Preach.
How long are you going to be in
on
the
that
state?
Note, on that note.
A bunch of hashtags.
I know.
Okay. We thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Black Voice Break. Tune in next time. Peace.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Ass Break. We'd love to hear your thoughts on the subject. Hit us up. Let us know what you think. You can reach us on Facebook at Black Ass Magazine, on Twitter at Black Ass Online. You can hit us up via email at kc@blackassonline.com. Leave a message on the hotline, 323-455-4219. You can always check us out on our website, blackassonline.com. Thanks again.